Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
It's going great.
It's going really, really well. What a fun show we had here. Not only are we talking about WWE releases and we do the mailbag, the AEW stuff, but my Christmas present to Denise finally arrived at the start of February and there's an unboxing for it and everything. So look forward to that. It's a very visual thing. I'm sure it'll be great on podcast. Here is the show. According to herself, is having an absolute disaster of a day. It's Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
I am having a disaster of a day. So, like, not like a terrible disaster, but I was just telling Luke, like, off the air that I basically got my hairbrush stuck inside my hair. And so, Luke, like, I have this giant knot of hair behind me, and now it's getting tangled with my choker, my jacket, and somehow the earphones were hanging off. So this has not been like my last like 20 minutes have not been that great.
I mean, obviously, I don't have that issue anymore. But back in the day when I used to have like long hair, I used to get knots in it. I didn't actually get many knots in my hair when I used to have it really long. Oh, my hair was like
really soft hair.
It was very soft. It was so straight as well. Like I looked like one of the members of Hanson. Like it was just so. It was like when I was at school, I used to have a lot of the girls at school be like, I'm so jealous of your hair. Like it's so soft and it's so straight. I didn't have to do anything with it. It literally just fell down. I hated it though, because I wanted like some volume to it.
Wow. I'm really a little bit irritated with you right now, Luke, that you had flawless, beautiful hair. And I'll tell you that today, like I took a shower and I don't know, I got the bright idea of cutting my hair in the shower. I did that. And I came out and my grandma was like, Denise, your hair is crooked. So I kind of tried to fix it a little bit. You can't really, I don't know how much you can tell. You can't really tell that much right now, but it's a little bit off. Like if you, it up close and personal.
Well, thankfully, as we're just across video screens, I didn't notice. So I think you've got away with it thus far. So well done you.
Thank you.
As a bit of housekeeping as well before we kick off, you'll see at the bottom there it says, please watch over on WrestleTalk Podcast. We will be moving over to the WrestleTalk Podcast channel in less than 2 weeks now, just over 2 weeks. After Elimination Chamber, that will be our new home. So this is just going to be on WrestleTalk for today. But in 2 weeks' time. So go over there, do subscribe to that channel so you can get this podcast when it gets released in a couple of weeks' time. So thank you very, very much. Right, let's dive into this big bit of news. So on February 2nd, although apparently it happened earlier in January, WWE announced they'd released Lars Sullivan, which I would say was probably not to the shock of many people, and I think probably to the delight of a few people, because he wasn't a particularly well-liked person. Clearly, he is someone who is suffering from a lot of mental, I don't want to use the word issues, but he himself is suffering very bad from anxiety. He had a panic attack, but you know, before he was supposed to debut, he was supposed to go into this program with John Cena into WrestleMania, had a panic attack over it and then couldn't be on TV. The reason he got released this time reportedly is because he no-showed TV again. And there was, you know, outside of that, there was a ton of heat on him for comments that he'd made on a bodybuilding blog many, many moons ago, which, you know, he did apologize for, but I think the damage had pretty much been done by that point. And that was not helped by the fact that once he'd made those comments, then returned to TV, he was then reportedly sending harassing messages on Instagram to a yoga instructor. And of course, there was his film history as well. So there was like a ton of heat on him. But apparently Vince really wanted to push him. And the segment that he did where he was interviewed shirtless backstage with Michael Cole was apparently like a rib. Like it was basically they were trying to sabotage him. Like they were trying to like make him look stupid. But if like I think it was Sean that said if it was a test, he passed because he just did it. And like, you know, he didn't make any bones about it.
It's, you know, see, this situation has been complicated. And it's just because at the end of the day, you can't celebrate necessarily someone losing their job, right? Like that just makes you an awful person to do that. But I'm also not going to act like I was the biggest Lars Sullivan fan because I wasn't. I didn't like what he was doing since his return on SmackDown. I wasn't a fan of it. The shirt promo, the freak, the this. I didn't care for it at all. Like he really had go away heat with me. And I think that he had it with a lot of people because it's just a complicated situation because I know that Sean did a report on Fightful Select that obviously, you know, he had made amends and had apologized to people and was very apologetic. And I think he even said that he wasn't necessarily being bullied about it or treated differently about it. And so it's kind of like, all right, you made the amends. He got fined the $100,000. He went to sensitivity training. And it's like, well, what else can a person do, right? But at the same time, it wasn't resonating with me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So that's why, like, I can say this is that, like, even though I knew all that stuff, I had zero interest in seeing him, you know, in the ring competing and all of that stuff. And I don't know if that's like a terrible thing to say or not, but that's just the way that I felt. And I don't think that I came across very many people that were like, woo, Lars Sullivan. And it is unfortunate. He lost his job. He lost his dad, all of that. That is very unfortunate, but it's just one of those things where I think that unfortunately he became tainted and he wasn't necessarily worth it anymore. Like I can't think of a reason why he should have a spot over somebody else that has more of a, I don't know, clean record, if that's what you're going to call it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's actually, it's not completely comparable or comparable, depending on how you want to say the word. But the Sammy Guevara situation in AEW, like when Speaking Out was really kicking off last year and you know, really coming to the forefront as it should have done. Sammy came under fire for some comments that he made on a podcast, you know, a few years ago, whatever it was, about Sasha Banks, like really awful comments that he'd made. And he immediately came out, was like, I'm very sorry. And they took him off TV. They took him away to sensitivity training and he was, you know, not paid by AEW. And then he came back. But with Sammy, there was a look, I think it was because, you know, we all like Sammy as a wrestler. I think there was a lot of people that were just like, I'm glad that he's made his amends. He's clearly looking to try and better himself as a person. And I think with Lars, it was like, I think you could see that he was trying to better himself as a person. He was very open to say that what he had said was very idiotic and he was very apologetic for it. But also I was never the biggest Lars Sullivan fan. So like, I was like, I'm glad that he's made the amends. And I'm glad that he's trying to better himself as a person. But at the same time, I don't really want to see him wrestle because I'm not really a fan of that big guy 80s style. It didn't resonate with me, as you say.
Yeah, he wasn't coming across as likable. And here's the thing, too, is that I feel that, you know, and I was just having this conversation like 2 days ago, and I was talking about cancel culture and how, like, I feel sometimes people get punished for the exact same thing. Like, what I'm trying to say is there's different levels to this. In terms of Sammy, he said something that was really, really dumb, and you can't defend what he said, right? But I don't think that's comparable to the years and years of Lars Sullivan essentially posting these stuff up, you know, on that website. And I mean, this is years, and this wasn't just one comment. I mean, he attacked everybody. It was like, I think it was, they said it was not just racism, it was sexism, it was a homophobic remarks. I mean, pretty much the worst of the worst that you can think of, all piled into one. And then, yeah, with the, you know, adult movies that came out, it's not, I don't know what the, you know, obviously he gets backlash on that too, but it was just more of the irony where he comes out, you know, against, you know, he's being homophobic and then comes out in these videos. So obviously people are going to be like, dude, what the heck? So that was, you know, all, it's just a very controversial thing. And I feel like he just had too much baggage where you couldn't let that go. Versus Sammy, it was one comment that he made years ago and it was bad. I get it, but it was different though. And I just think that there's always different levels to this. And it is like the second that this happened, my brain automatically went to Velveteen Dream. I was like, what on earth is Velveteen Dream still doing there? Because that to me, like what he has been accused of is a whole lot worse than saying something, in my opinion. But you know, different situations. And after, you know, doing this pod, I did the Listen Your Girl with Sean. He basically told me that it was more of, hey, he was also done. He didn't really want to be there anymore either. So it was kind of like, I think he knew his time was up. I think he knew he was no longer being, you know, liked by the fans. The ship has sailed. And I think that maybe he might've came to that realization. And I almost also compare that to Jackson Riker. Like also same thing with him. Like, he has like this go away heat as well, where people are just like, oh, we don't like you because of what you said, right? It's such a terrible time to say it, and you know, the politics and all that. But it's complicated because it's like, how much, like, what's the level? Like, what are the rules? Do you do X thing and you're out? Do you do X thing and you're still in? Like, what are the rules here? I don't know. It's a complicated situation.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be judged on a case-by-case basis, really, which is why, like, I think the Sammy situation is a very interesting one because, yeah, like, what Sammy said was idiotic. It really, really was. And it was so stupid. But he was also saying he was saying it to try and be shocking. He was trying to be like a shock jock and be like, I'm going to say this comment. I don't believe what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it because I think it will make someone laugh, right? Like, and that's it. And then, you know, he's had to realize that that is not something you need to be joking about. That's not where, like, that's not how comedy works. And so, but like with Lars, I think what Lars was doing was pure hatred. And
exactly.
And like, and I think for someone like a Jackson Riker, I think there is a level of hatred there as well. So like, that's where I think there is that different level. It does have to be judged on a case by case basis. But with Lars, as you say, like, and you know, as Sean was reported, I think like he kind of knew that his time was up. And so like, he was kind of ready to be walking out the door, which is, as kind of move on to our next one, is the opposite of Steve Cutler. So Steve Cutler like put out a tweet. He was released yesterday by WWE, and he put out a tweet saying, unfortunately, today I was released. It was shocking to say the least, but I am excited about the future and all the possibilities in front of me. Thanks for your continued support. So apparently, this is the report that's come out from this. It's because he got COVID. He got COVID in January, and that got him heat with Vince McMahon. And there are people, this is a, I think it was, might be sure they reported this, that there are people who believed that's why he was released.
Yeah.
Because he got COVID and that got him heat with Vince.
So yeah, he reported that on Fightful Select too. And I'm thinking like, this doesn't make sense to me, Luke. How does this make sense? He is not the first. He's not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, probably not even the 10th, 20th person to get COVID in the company. And so to me, it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he got the COVID. That I'm not aware of. So I'm almost wondering if it's maybe of like a how he got it. Because if it's going to be because of the COVID, then you should be mad at other people. Like the people that were doing the parties. I mean, those people you should probably be upset at too. So
Mia Yim got it. Had to change their Rumble plans. Like it was reported just the other day that Toni Storm wasn't supposed to be in the Rumble. She was only in the Rumble because Mia Yim got COVID and had to be taken off the show. Keith Lee was supposed to be in the Rumble as well, but because the pair of them had to self-isolate, he had to have a spot replaced for him as well. So you'd have thought, like, if you're making plans change that much, that would also get massive heat on them. But apparently it hasn't, and they're fine. But Cutler does. And because he's, what, a henchman for Baron Corbin? Like, that gets you mega heat now because you've ruined our Baron Corbin plans.
Yes. And I feel bad for him because, you know, I was doing the story earlier today and I was, you know, reading the old tweets about when, you know, when Riker basically posted his thankful for Donald Trump tweet. And then afterwards he posted his tweet basically saying like, yes, we're a tag team, but I have my own individual thoughts and opinions that they do not align with that. And so I just started thinking back at to how that one tweet sort of, you know, affected their careers and, you know, and then, you know, being gone from television for et cetera amount of time, coming back, you're in such a, like a lame position. And then afterwards you end up getting COVID. And then the next thing you know, you're gone. Like that sucks. And so I almost feel though that this might be the bright side for him. And I think he might be seeing the bright side too of things because he posted right away on that tweet, like, yes, I've been let go. Yes, I was surprised. But you know what? 90 days and counting and I'm excited for the future, whatever his wording was, right? And I'm thinking, all right, that's good. I could definitely see him doing something more if he were to go to Impact Wrestling. Obviously, he's with Deonna Purrazzo. So that's obviously a assumption that people can make that he'll end up in Impact Wrestling. And I think that would be a good place. And I think that if anything, he might even get more focus, more attention than he did, you know, at WWE. But it just really sucks though, like the lack of, not the lack of opportunity, but just like everything that went down really sucks, I think, for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He had quite a tumultuous journey through WWE, you know, where there was like being split from Blake and Murphy and then like Murphy being the one who goes off and gets the main roster push while Cutlass to stay down in NXT. And then, yeah, like it's, I mean, that's Wesley Blake in that, but like, you know, Steve Cutler was kind of in that same position, you know, because like the Forgotten Sons were, as they were pushed back to NXT and then taken off TV for ages, and then you're brought to the main roster, and the Riker's things happen, so you got taken off TV, and then you come back, and then you get taken off TV again. Like it was a lot of stop starts for poor old Steve Cutler. But what's kind of interesting in all of this is the PW Insider in their report on this noted whether this is the beginning of a new series of releases remains to be seen, but there is fear among some in the company that cuts are coming in the wake of today's WWE earnings release, the earnings release where they announced record profits. So there is this report, like when usually when WWE release a couple of people, there's usually a sign that there are more to come. And whether they do it as like a big batch, like they did last year, or whether they do it, you know, drip feed it. Do you think that we're getting some more releases coming soon?
Well, the largest one was, I know that PW Insider reported that it had been done quietly last month. So that was kind of a bit. And then this one, you can estimate that maybe a month apart. So I don't know if that's necessarily a sign of a batch of people coming. I think if it was like, oh, they just dropped Lars Sullivan yesterday. Oh, and then Steve Cutler today. All right. Then in that case, I would start thinking that maybe they would be doing something like this. But I don't, I'm not until I actually see it. I don't know. Because here's the thing, too, is that when Lars was released, I thought that it was completely a WWE decision. I thought it was just them, you know, cleaning out the, you know, listening to the people and realizing that, hey, this guy ain't going to stick very well with people. That's what I thought, but I was completely wrong. And that was like my initial thought when I first read that he had been released, but I was wrong on that. And so had that happened, I think I would have thought more of like, hey, they are really going to be releasing people.
Yeah, I don't know if more are coming down the line. And like, as you say, because they are quite separate apart and they do feel like that's for two different reasons, then I don't think we are heading to that period of time. Like maybe after Mania, which is where we saw it last year, there may be like another bit of house cleaning to be done. Like I hate to use that term, but that's what they call it, like house cleaning. But I don't know if there will be, really.
You know who else I've been thinking about too a lot lately? Aleister Black. We didn't see him in the Rumble. We haven't seen him since the whole Zelina thing. Or maybe even before that, we weren't seeing him, right? Like before that, we weren't even seeing him. And
yeah, we haven't seen him since he got drafted to SmackDown. Like he had that like mini feud with Kevin Owens. And then that was it.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, let's just say if they were going to throw out somebody's name out there to be released, I wouldn't be surprised to see Aleister's name on there. I don't think so. But like the fact that he didn't come out at the Rumble sort of trips me out a little bit.
Yeah, and apparently, like, I was reading this morning that, like, Buddy Murphy is like showing up to TV all the time. He's at TV every week, but they just have no plans for him. And you just thought, like, after, like, because the WWE in their earnings report were talking about how, like, someone asked them about the ratings, you know, about turning around the ratings. And they were like, we don't need to turn around the ratings because we've got other metrics. We've got YouTube metrics. We've got Facebook metrics. Like, that's where we're getting those watches. And those YouTube and Facebook metrics are telling you that the Buddy Murphy Aaliyah storyline was really connecting with people. I know that some people didn't like it. And some people found it very, very controversial. And that's absolutely fine. And I don't disagree with you at all on that. But those numbers were really, really great. And yet, for some reason, that storyline has just been dropped from TV completely. And Buddy Murphy's at TV every week, and they're not using him. So there's like these like Dave, you mentioned Aleister Black. And yeah, so I wonder if there are a couple of guys that are just like, whether they're being kept off TV for a reason, which is what we just seen with Steve Cutler. You know, we were like, where's Steve Cutler been on TV? Turns out he's getting his marching orders. I don't know. And like the other one that I find is interesting as well is apparently Cesaro's contract is up after WrestleMania. And all but like when Cesaro, like the report came out, Cesaro's contract is up after WrestleMania, it suddenly clicked with me. I was like, oh, that's why he's getting pushed on TV. Because they're trying to get him to re-sign.
Yeah, they're trying to get him to re-sign.
So God. Like as soon as you resign, it's like, right, cool. Well, we can stop that push then. But yeah, like it's like, oh, right, cool. Well, that makes sense now. That's why he's getting all this TV time.
Has Cesaro been with the company now? I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. I mean, I've been writing up about Brody Lee for the WrestleTalk magazine, which is coming out next month. And I was going back and I was watching an old Chikara match of those. And that was like in 2008 when he was Claudio Castagnoli. So it's got to be like 2009, 2010 that he's joined the company. It's a long, old time.
Oh, and to think that he's never necessarily had, like he's always been pretty much at the same spot, I feel.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Right, let's look at the AEW NXT ratings for this week. It was a big week for AEW because they had the Beach Break edition of the show, and NXT were pushing that Edge, Royal Rumble winner Edge, was going to be on the show. Worked out for AEW, which I think kind of makes sense because they were pushing Beach Break for a lot longer than WWE were, Edge being on NXT. You know, this had months of build, really, this Beach Break episode with a huge six-man main event. And it got 844,000 viewers on TNT, up 15% from the previous week. And NXT was actually down to 610,000. And, you know, we were talking last week about how they were so close. And there was that theory that it was because of the cutouts that TNT suffered in the Lance Archer-Eddie Kingston match. And I think this kind of like disparate gap again probably shows that was the reason that like people just saw AEW's not working. I'm just going to switch over and watch NXT this week until it comes back, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was crazy to me. But okay, let's talk about the Edge thing, because when did he make that announcement? Did he make it the day before Dynamite, or was it 2 days before Dynamite? I mean, sorry, excuse me, NXT.
I think
it was wrong either, show.
It was either Monday or Tuesday. I want to say it was Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday as well, because we did the Raw review on Tuesday and someone sent us in a hyper chat asking, do you think that Edge will challenge Finn Balor? And we were like, absolutely not. Like, he's definitely facing Roman Reigns. Like, I don't even think he'll be on NXT. And then as soon as we post that episode, about 2 hours later, they announced that Edge was going to be on NXT. And I was like, oh, well, now I look like a dick, because I said that's probably not going to happen. So yeah, it was definitely on Tuesday.
Okay, so then that's the thing that I'm thinking is like, how many people, you know, actually check social media every day? I know that, you know, I check social media every day. I'm sure you check social media every day, but I don't think that everybody does. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of people just like missed it and didn't even know. Or like, also they, even if let's say they are like, okay, Edge is going to be on. All right. They know that they can always watch the segment. They can watch the segment if they choose on YouTube, or they can go on social media and watch the clip there. So it's almost not something that I think is necessarily like, oh my God, I gotta tune in because Edge is gonna be on. I don't necessarily think that it's something that would, I'm just thinking about like me as a viewer and what would interest me. I don't necessarily think that I would, if I haven't been tuning in, I wouldn't necessarily just come back out of nowhere and be like, I'm tuning in because Edge is here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to know, like, and we obviously will never know this, what the difference would have been if he'd have said on his promo on Raw in that opening segment, which, as Brian and Dave pointed out, Wrestling Observer Radio is the most watched Raw segment, like one of the most watched Raw segments of the year every single year, because it's the first segment after the Rumble. If he'd have said in that promo, I'm going to be on NXT this Wednesday and I'm going to go face to face with Finn Balor because he's a potential opponent for me at WrestleMania. Whether that would have had more of an impact on the NXT rating than them just saying on Tuesday on Twitter, by the way, he's going to be on NXT this week.
Yeah, that probably, I mean, who knows? They could have done it that way, but it just feels like making a tweet on, you know, sending out a tweet like, all right, it's cool. You can get a couple of retweets, a couple of likes and all of that. But at the end of the day, I think you still want that wider audience. And I think a lot of us forget that, you know, I'm so invested in Twitter and all of that, that I almost feel like I'm in a Twitter bubble because you think, oh, every single wrestling fan is on Twitter. That's not true. Not every single wrestling fan is on Twitter. Heck, there may be wrestling fans that don't even have social media. And I know this because I know people that don't have like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It trips me out, but there's people like that. So it like, sometimes I think that we're in like this social media bubble that just because we saw it, we think everybody sees it.
Yeah, I get this because like there'll be times when I'll finish watching a show and I'll go and check Twitter because I don't have an Instagram, I don't have a Facebook, but I do have Twitter. So I'll go to Twitter and I'll be like, you know, I'll look at certain things. I'll be like, okay, well, this is what the reaction to this show has been. And I'll talk about that. And then like you look at the YouTube comments and it's a completely different reaction to it. And I'm like, oh, right. And it's because you're absolutely right. Like sometimes I get into a sort of like, it's a Twitter bubble where I'm like, this is what Twitter is saying. So that's kind of like what I think the reaction to this show has been. And then you go onto a different social media platform, it's a completely different kettle of fish. And people are saying different things about it.
Like, I'll tell you this much. It's even different in terms of like fan bases and communities. Like I've noticed so much difference. Like the WrestleTalk audience is different from the Fightful audience, different from the Sports Kita audience, different from the F4W audience. And it's so crazy to me how like, you know, people can be so different, but it really is like that. So you just have like different opinions, different likes and dislikes, and that's cool. But it is pretty interesting because I think sometimes you think, oh, because everybody thinks this here, everybody thinks this elsewhere, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right. Well, we are going to dive into the mailbag very shortly. But before we get into the mailbag, my Christmas present to Denise arrived. I cannot apologize for it being so late. Moving house. I've got a myriad of other excuses that I could use, but
no excuses, Luke. It got here. I'm happy.
It finally arrived. I've been planning this for, you know, I've been planning it out. My wife and I have been talking about it, you know, changing this, moving things out. But I'm very, very excited to see A, what you think, B, how much of it survived. So this will be
funny story. Like I opened the door and it was last night. So after AEW NXT, like an hour after. So it was already like 10 or 11 or something. Like I had done my show and everything. And I saw like a box on like the top of the mailbox. And I was like, I told my fiance, I was like, hey, can you check? I was like, can you make sure that's not for me? I was like, I'm not expecting anything. I was like, I don't think it's for me. And it's like literally out in the public where like anybody could have just passed by and they could have just gotten it. Like it's right at the street. So anybody could have stolen my package. And it ended up being for me. And I was like, oh my God, my package finally came.
Yeah, I mean, my wife said to me on Wednesday night, she was like, has Denise had the Christmas present yet? And I was like, no, that won't be there for ages. Yeah, like that. And then like the very next, like that day you tweet me being like, oh, it arrived. And I was like,
really?
I was like, oh, actually, no, it turns out it arrived perfectly fine.
I felt so special because there was a stamp of the queen or something. And I was like, oh, my God, I've never gotten a package with a stamp with the queen on it.
So fun fact, so royal. I had to take that package down and it was, I didn't actually box it up. Like it was in a box, but I didn't have tape. So I had to take it down as an open box. But anyway, right. You
Luke,
me
you sent there. Me so much stuff. Holy cow. I feel like I should have sent you more. When I saw yours, I was like, oh my God, his box is way bigger than mine.
It was too big. Denise, I went too far.
Oh my God. And when you said it was expensive to ship it over and now I'm seeing the size of this. All right. Let me see if I can kind of put it in perspective for the viewers here. I mean, this box is bigger than like two of like three of my heads, and I have like a giant head. All right, so here we go. Let's see what we got. We got Quavers cheese.
Oh, so close. You know what? That's exactly what my wife said. It's like, I bet you she says Quavers or something like that. No, it's quite as good.
What is it? What is it?
They are Quavers.
Quavers. Oh my God. Let's see. Monster Munch. Oh my God. I've never heard of any of these, Luke.
If you check out the flavor for it as well. So that's the interesting
pickled
thing.
Onion. Oh, this one's cheese.
Yep, pickled onion flavored Monster Munch. Delicious.
Prawn cocktail. And didn't you teach me what a prawn was like a while back?
Yeah. It's a shrimp, basically.
Oh my God. All right. So just like FYI, I'm going to do like a video, like taste testing all of these. Watsits?
I do not like Watsits. I can tell you this. I don't like them, but I feel like they're a British staple. So I thought I should send them over, but I do not like Watsits.
Let's see. Sensations Thai Sweet Chili.
Oh, they are good crisps. They are excellent crisps. I hope you like crisps because there's a lot of them.
I love potato chips. Like, I live for them. Tyrelli Sweet Chili and Red Pepper. From Herefordshire, England. And they're holding a big chili.
So that's Herefordshire.
Oh, it's Herefordshire?
Yes.
What did I say? Herefordshire? Oh my gosh. I'm like every English. You know, because we speak the fake English over here. Oh my God. All right. Next up. Oh my God, Luke. You literally, my grandparents are going to love you because they're going to like nibble on this stuff too. Okay. Kettle Sea Salt and Crushed Black Peppercorns. Oh, absolutely.
Those are among my favorite crisps in the world. Oh, they are really good. So good. Yeah. They're quite fatty, but they're very, very delicious.
What is this? Maynard's? So, Bassets?
Yes. So Bassets. So those are licorice all sorts. They're like licorice, like candy things, like little sweets.
Look at that little guy is so funny.
Yeah, that's Bertie. That's Bertie Bassett.
Bertie Bassett.
Yeah.
Is he like famous?
He is a little bit, yeah. He's the mascot of Licorice All Sorts. Yeah, I'd say he was Bertie.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, look at this. Drumstick Squashies raspberry flavor.
Yep. So I actually haven't seen this before, but there's also, I think there's a drumstick in there as well. I love a drumstick. Like a drumstick's like a little cheap little sweet thing you can get for people in party bags.
Double Decker Cadbury. Cadbury.
Dude, did that survive?
Yes, oh, it's hard still.
Yes, I'm so happy. Blue Chew. It's because, so like, when I was packing this up, right, I could hear your fiance, and your fiance is a very smart person, very smart man. I could hear his voice being like, do not send chocolate. It will not make it. And I just ignored him. I was like, don't care. I'm sending chocolate.
You're like, the little devil and the little angel was like right next to you.
He was there going like, don't send it. Just don't send it. It's not going to make it. What's the point? You're just wasting money. I was like, off you go. I'm sending double decker on its way.
I feel like you got it. Okay. Jaffa Cakes, the scoffer.
Oh, Jaffa Cakes. Yes. So that's scoffer. Like it basically uses me to scoff them down. So Jaffa Cakes are fairly controversial in the UK.
Why?
There's a debate on whether it's a cake or it's a biscuit. So like biscuit, like our biscuits are very different to what you consider it to be a biscuit. But like biscuits have got like a snap to them. You dunk them in tea, but they are sold in the biscuit aisle. But people will tell you it's got a cake consistency with marmalade. So it's not a biscuit. It's a cake. So there's always, there's a very much a UK debate about whether it's a biscuit.
But they call it cake. So wouldn't the company know that it's what their product is?
Exactly. But it's sold in a biscuit aisle. It's not sold in a cake aisle.
Is there not a cake aisle?
There is a cake aisle, but it's not sold there. It's sold in the biscuit aisle.
But they probably don't sell it in the cake aisle because I feel in the cake aisle, they only sell the ingredients to make the cake from scratch.
There's also birthday cakes there. You might sell birthday cakes down there.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right, here we go. Next up, we have the Marvelous Creations Jelly Popping Candy Dare. There's candy in this? Holy. Yeah. All right, this is a Denise product right here. I'm so excited to try this. My gosh.
Says popping candy and jelly beans. Yeah, there's candy beans and jelly beans. Popping candy and jelly beans in there. They're delicious. Really,
this
really
looks
good.
Amazing. And I like, haven't heard of anything that you've done so far. I haven't heard of it at all.
Dude, I was in the shop, like Google, like I pick out certain things. I'd be like, is this available in the US? And it will tell me like yes or no.
I'll tell you right now, I haven't seen any of this stuff. Hula hoops.
Lovely stuff. Yep, just nice and there. Beautiful little crisps, those.
Haribo. Oh, wait, my stuff is falling. Haribo. I don't think I have this one, though. This one, though. The Tang Fastics. Do I have Tang Fastics? I have different versions of Haribo. Or Haribo.
I like how you say Haribo as well. It's very cool.
Is it Haribo or Haribo?
We would just call it Haribo. Because it's German.
Oh, I have no idea. All right, I'm running out of space. All right, here we go. What do we have here? Love hearts, share the love. Oh, these are so cute.
I'm so glad that you don't have those. I love a love heart.
No, we have Smarties.
Oh, no, those are different to Smarties. Those are very different to Smarties.
A little egg.
Yeah, it's a cream egg.
It's a little egg.
That is a Cadbury's cream egg.
And it made it, Luke. Your eggs made it.
I'm so thrilled that it made it. So thrilled that it made it. That was one I was like, I didn't wrap that one up. I was like, man, that's going to be crushed.
Oh, this is so cute. Mr. Porky.
Okay, right. So pork scratchings are, it's pork fat that is deep fried.
Chicharrones.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. You have it's like deep, like a really salty.
Yeah, and like Mexican, like it's chicharrones, or I think that's cool. That's chicharrones. Like it's the pork, and it's like hard, right, and really crunchy. Chicharrones. Yes.
Amazing! I didn't know.
Not this brand. Like a totally different brand. Yeah, totally different.
I was talking to some friends about this because they're like, "Don't say the pork scratchings; they're disgusting." And I'm like, "No,
no."
When I was a meat eater, I loved pork scratchings. Particularly if you get a nipple on it, that's how you know it's good. Like that's how you know it's a good one, because like that means it's definitely the skin, or you can still see the branding of the pig on there.
Oh my god, Boost.
Yeah, Boost bar. Oh. That is great.
I've never heard of any of this. Like, oh my god!
It's got like caramel. It's got little biscuit bites in there. Oh, I love a Boost. Boost is
not
good.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm having a culture shock right now.
So I've sent you two of my favorite chocolate bars, which are a Boost and a Double Decker. And I love a Double Decker because that's
favorite.
I go back and forth. So like a Double Decker's got a thick layer of nougat in there, and then like a biscuity bottom. But the Boost has got like a thick, like it's got caramel rim, and then the biscuit in the middle with like some like soft chocolate in there. Oh, it's amazing.
I cannot wait. Oh my gosh. Like my heart wants to explode. I'm so excited to do like this video. Ooh, a Yorkie. Oh, this looks fancy.
Well, a Yorkie that's by a different company. That's Nestle. And they hit a lot of controversy in the late 90s because their marketing campaign was, "It's not for girls."
What?
Yeah.
And this is the one I was like, ooh, this looks good.
Yeah, they just changed their advertising being like, "It's a boy's chocolate, it's not for girls." And they used to have like the no symbol on there with a picture of a girl on it with like a no sign through it. And like the adverts were girls going into shops dressed up as boys trying to buy a Yorkie and the shopkeeper telling them no.
When did they stop this?
In the late 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, it got a lot of complaints.
I feel like 90s, 2000s is still really late. Like had you said the 70s, I would have been like, okay, like they stopped it in the 70s.
No, there was a magazine called, I think it was either Zoo or Nuts. We used to have like a lads mag where like, you know, it's about cars and football and girls and all this sort of stuff and lad stuff. And they had like, Yorkie did a sponsorship with them where they sold like they gave away stickers that had like, you know, "It's not for girls, do not touch, this isn't for girls." And I had a "It's not for girls" thing on my TV remote. My girlfriend went nuts. She was so mad at me for having the sticker on my remote control.
Good. I second her on this one.
Totally. Oh, absolutely. I was very much wrong.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to eat this. My caption's going to be, "It's for girls" or "Girl eating Yorkie." We have, this looks fun. Dolly mixtures with a little, is that a bunny or a mouse? It's a mouse, right?
I think it's a little mouse. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mouse. Yeah,
that's a classic British like little candy thing, a little Dolly mixture.
My mouth is like souring so much. These all look so great. Wine gums. Ooh, gummies.
Those are my favorite gummies. Also, they're vegan.
Oh, nice. I've had a couple of vegan foods. So I think, think I've ever had vegan candy.
Well, it's interesting because wine gums were never intentionally vegan. They just always have been vegan because they're not made with gelatin. So they are just always been delicious.
These look so good. Oh my gosh. I hate that I'm going to wait until tomorrow. I literally hate myself. Like I want to get into this box right now. A whisper.
Yep. That actually got discontinued in the UK and then brought back about 15 years ago or so. But yeah, they just stopped doing it. And then there was a public campaign to bring them back.
Wow. This is a drumstick, mega drumstick. What is this?
So that's drumstick. So it's like a candy thing, but it's like you've got to, it's really hard. So you've got to suck on it first to like whittle it. You've got to whittle down its consistency before you can bite into it.
I can't. I physically cannot. Oh my God. I didn't even have a comeback. I don't even have a comeback.
That's what she said.
And this is the last one. This is the Arrow Festive Peppermint. Mm-hmm. Festive Peppermint. I love peppermint, by the way. Holy cow. You have no idea how much I love peppermint. This is going to drive me wild. I love peppermint.
It's a bubbly chocolate as well. It's got like little air holes in it. And it's always been advertised as well as a bit of a girl's chocolate. And it was always targeted towards women, but I think it's delightful. I love an Aero.
So the man and the woman chocolate.
Exactly.
What? I've never had bubble chocolate though before.
Well, there you go. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled.
Oh, this is so sweet. And you added a letter. Excuse me. I could cry. This is so cute. Oh, I love this. I'm going to save all of this. Well, I'm going to save this and I'm going to eat the rest of it. I cannot wait. Seriously, thank you so much, Luke. Thank you to your wife. Thank you to the Postal Service.
Yep. Oh, thank you, Postal Service, for getting there. Because I'll be honest with you, Denise, I picked the cheapest option to send it because it was like...
Oh, I don't blame you.
They quoted me a price and I was like, is that with tracking? They were like, yeah. Can I get it untracked? It was like, yeah, that will reduce it by this much. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to take that because otherwise...
You know what I did, right? I ended up getting it for free. I shipped it over for free. Yeah. I had my fiance ship it from his job. And they didn't know. So nobody snitched. I don't know. I think the box might have even arrived with like his job's logo on it. So that's how I was able to send it.
Oh my God. Amazing. Oh God. And I actually was going to, we're actually running out of time. I was wanting to get into the mailbag. I was going to do a live taste test of the trolleys.
Oh my God. Do it. Do it. Do okay, a live test. Oh my God. Do it. Those are my favorite candies. Do it. Right. I'm so excited.
This is 8:15 in the morning. I'm going to have this sugary little delight here. Oh, hello, mate. Oh.
You've been blessed, Luke.
Oh, those are blessed. Good.
And the red and blue one is my favorite. Then the yellow and the red. The green and the orange is my least favorite. But I still eat it.
I just had a red and blue one. And that was amazing. Mm.
The best one. That's the second best one. And then the other one's the third best one. Right?
That yellow one. That hit a lemon. Mm-hmm.
So here's a tip for you. Put them in the refrigerator. Get them a little bit cold and then eat them. Don't eat them like they're better cold than they are warm.
Good advice. I'll put those in the fridge then.
Yes. Oh, man,
those are excellent. Right? So Denise, that is a 10 out of 10.
Woo! We did it. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Love those. Right. Crikey. Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, it's Luke Owen here from the Wrestle Talk podcast, just letting you know that the video versions of the Wrestle Talk podcast is now on a new and exclusive home. If you've been watching the Wrestle Talk podcast video version for the last 4 years, you'll have known it was on Wrestle Talk, but because of YouTube algorithms and uploads and blah de blah views, etc., etc., we've been instructed by some very, very smart, intelligent algorithm boffins that our uploads are kind of like they're butchering some of the plays. So what we've done is we've now moved the WrestleTalk podcast off of WrestleTalk and are putting it on an exclusive YouTube home, WrestleTalk podcast. Nothing else is changing. You're still going to get your pay-per-view reviews, Raw, AEW, SmackDown, the magazine show with myself and Denise. If you do watch the video version of these podcasts, by the time Elimination Chamber rolls around, it will only be available to find on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Don't go to WrestleTalk. You'll only find the WrestleTalk news there. WrestleTalk podcast channel. But if you just search WrestleTalk podcast, you should still be able to find it. That's all from me. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's get into the mailbag. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you got to do is become one of our play channels on Patreon, any dollar amount. Leave a comment to the community tab. Do not email me, I will just lose it.
Sorry, is this still a wrestling podcast? Like, is this still Wrestle Talk or are we on Candy Talk?
If people have made it to this point, they know what they're getting. Like, they know what they're
Yeah, that's true. They really do.
So Josh Weisenberger says, hello, Luke and Denise. Hope you're doing well. I was binging videos the other day, chatting with my best wrestling buddy, and was really interesting topic of conversation came up. I wonder if you guys would be interested in it as well. If you discount Pac and Bo Dallas, because one works in AEW, also the other's Bo Dallas, there are 16 current or former NXT champions on WWE's roster. What if WWE was to do a best of NXT tournament using those 16 men? And so the 16 men include Seth Rollins, Big E, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Aleister Black, Andrade, Johnny Gargano, Drew McIntyre, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, Keith Lee, and Karrion Kross. Like, that is like a 16-man tournament. Do you decide like a number one contender? I think it'd be really cool.
Hell yeah. Like, the names that you just mentioned, like, already, like, I would be super excited to see like Andrade and Samoa Joe. And just like all the other people that like were named, that would be incredible.
That would be an amazing tournament. Yeah. Like, it's one of those tournaments though where you look at it, it's like, I don't know who you're eliminating first, like who's going out in the first round.
And
like,
I wouldn't even know who to root for.
Yeah, I know. There's too many big names in there. But yeah, that's a wicked idea. I love that. Andrew Donnelly said, if you could show one wrestling pay-per-view to a non-fan to get them into wrestling, what would it be? Mine would be One Night Stand 05. Excuse me. Now, I would disagree with One Night Stand 05 because I think that's so niche. Like, that is a show that is designed for ECW fans, right? Like, that is, you were a fan of ECW, you stopped watching wrestling, here's a reunion show. But if you're showing that to a non-fan to try and get them into wrestling, they're going to have a completely wrong idea of what wrestling is. So while I think it is, it's one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time, I don't think it'd be the show I would, it's not the show I would show to a non-wrestling fan to get them into wrestling.
So what would you show them?
So I've done this recently. I would show them, I've been showing, like, my friend Tom, who was a wrestling fan in 99, early 2000s, stopped watching wrestling like a lot of people did. I showed him takeovers. Like, I was like, if you want to get back into wrestling, here's a wicked takeover. Like, the Adam Cole, Aleister Black match was one that I showed. It was like, this is awesome. Like, these are two guys who are just like absolutely killing it at the moment. These are the kind of guys that, this is what wrestling is today. So that would be like, as to try and get him into watching wrestling again, I showed him that. And he's also been very intrigued by AEW. So I would show him some something from like, probably like the Revolution tag match, like the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
The Bucks Omega Page to be like, this is, so probably Revolution, like, because top to bottom, that's a great show.
I love your picks. I was actually thinking of takeovers too. I feel like that would be like the go-to answer, especially it's a little bit of like both. You get the, you know, you get the entertainment, but you also get the, you know, the hard-hitting action. So aside from takeovers, just to add to that, depending on the person. So if the person is not really looking for like specific skill and like stamina, I would give them something more exciting, like the Royal, like any Royal Rumble show, just for them to get excited, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody that I feel would appreciate the actual art of wrestling, I would show them like any Wrestle Kingdom or like a G1 or something like that to get them, and the takeovers, to get them interested in like the art form of wrestling. But if I'm looking more as like an entertainment side of it, I would probably do like a Rumble or something like that.
Well, a Rumble makes sense because you get like, you get 60 names in there to be like, here are like, and that is a way to say like, here are 60 characters for that are currently in wrestling. It's like, that's a really good way to be like, to show you like a breadth of people. And because like a lot of people use the Rumble to get their characters over, you know, something like Billy Kay in this year's Rumble. Like if you're new to wrestling and you see Billy Kay, you're like, cool, I completely understand that character. I know who that character is. Tony, I know who that character is. So yeah, I think a Rumble is actually a really good shout to show a non-fan.
Also, like when I would do my Royal Rumble parties, I didn't have like any parties for like any other event, I mean, besides WrestleMania, but it was like Royal Rumble was like the one where I would actually invite like, oh, my aunts and my uncles that don't necessarily watch wrestling, but come have a good time and eat pizza with us. I would only do it for the Royal Rumble. I wouldn't do it for like any other pay-per-view.
So I think that's a great answer. Alan Monsoon says, hey, Team Danuk, with the conclusion of the Royal Rumble ending, with Edge and Bianca winning their respective Rumbles, who do you think they're going to face at Mania? I think the obvious answer of Bianca is Sasha for the SmackDown title, but I feel Edge, there's two options. It could be either Drew or Randy. I think it's most likely, I think it's like the report is, obviously Alan left this comment, but I think before Raw had even aired. So I think the report now is it's going to be Edge Roman at Mania. And I feel like for me, I'm kind of, I think you were saying the opposite on Fightful, but I think I'm more interested in Edge Roman than I am Edge Drew, if I'm being honest. But that's because I think I'm so into the Roman heel character. And I think the Battle of the Spears, just like, I think that could be a really interesting story to tell.
That would be good. But I think I personally was just a little bit more interested in Edge Drew, but I don't know if that would happen. And then for Bianca, definitely with Sasha Banks. I think that one's more of a clear cut answer. Again, with Edge, I feel like there's options. I even like the tease of like a, hey, like possibly Finn, and if Dunn wins, possibly Dunn. And then he even had that segment with Karrion Kross that was like, you don't have to worry about them. You got to worry about me. You know, just I like the fact that there's options.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm just kind of excited for what they're going to do with Edge. Actually, on that, like Rini sent a message saying, hello, Luke and Denise. Since Mania is 2 months away, I wanted to ask what your dream mini Mania would be this year. Their pick was Rhea Charlotte, Bianca Sasha, Orton Fiend, Big E Christian, and then Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, which I feel like is quite a, like, I think most of those you're going to get, like, Bianca Sasha, I think, is an absolute lock. Orson Fiend is a lock. Big E Christian, I think, is a fun one. I really like that because, you know, there's that story that Christian was owed a title shot. Big E was the champion at that point. I know Sean is, like, on a big campaign to make that a reality. He's putting that out into the world. I love that option. I really, really do. For me, though, I'd actually, in a way, I'd quite like to see it be Asuka Charlotte for the Raw Women's title, but Asuka gets the win. And yeah, so that way you can kind of like do a retelling of their Mania 33 feud, but this time, or 34 feud rather, but this time it's Asuka that goes over.
I'm totally opposite on this one. I don't have any interest in seeing Asuka versus Charlotte. Like, I'd rather see Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. Like, that would be the one that I would want to see. And then I do want to see if, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would like to see Triple H, AJ Styles. I think that's the one where I'm like, you know what? That would be a cool little dream matchup, and I would want to see it.
Yeah, I think amazing. That'd be really, really cool. Marcus Sol Campbell, do you think that Impact will run paid ads during an episode of AEW Dynamite? And he follows up with Tommy Dreamer getting a shot at the next Impact Plus special. Is he just a placeholder for someone else like Moose to get the title shot in Dreamer's place?
The Tommy Dreamer thing, in my opinion, is lame. So it feels like a throwaway. Like, I have zero interest in it. And then for the paid ads, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that one, rather. Callum, this is a fun one. What two shows would you have loved to have seen a crossover episode? It could be old or new shows. Mine would have been Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I think Barney and Joey would have got along very well. I heard, a little birdie has told me, that you prefer Frasier to Seinfeld.
I wonder what bird told you that.
It was the Twitter bird.
Yeah, so I so I'm barely on season 3. Have you seen Frasier?
Oh, dude, I love Frasier. Okay. I was watching Frasier like when it was first on, and I loved Frasier. I thought it was so great.
Do you like it more than Seinfeld?
I've never seen Seinfeld, I can't make that comment. But I loved Frasier. I think it's so funny. I love the character of Frasier Crane. Love Niles. Love Daphne. I love Roz. Oh my god, I love everything about Frasier.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, I can't even pick a character where I'm like, oh, I don't like this person. I like everybody. But I'm barely on season 3. I just finished episode 17. So I'm on 18 or 19 or something like that. But I've been so into it. And it's at first when I started watching it, I was like, oh, this feels like an old, boring show. And then like 20 minutes in, I was like, oh, my God, next episode. And lo and behold, now I'm almost at season 4. So I really like it. I liked it so much. I'm liking it a lot more than Seinfeld. There's just a different, like, it's connecting to my heart, connecting to my soul. But to answer the question, I kind of have to have the same answer. I Met Your Mother and Friends, because I feel like there's so much similarities that you would just have to do it.
Yeah, I think I would like to. So this is tough, because there's like shows that I love, but then I'm like, I don't know if the crossover would work. Like, you know, I love The Good Place, but I don't want to see a crossover episode with something else, because I don't want any character to have to die in order to go to The Good Place. So like that's, you know, so I'm going to excise that off the table. I'm currently watching Buffy. Like, I'm nearly finished watching Buffy now.
I was going to say, you've been watching Buffy for a while now.
Oh, dude, that's because it took us like 6 months to get through season 4, because it was so rubbish. Like, we're like, oh, this is a... Should we sit down and watch another episode? I don't really want to. Like, I don't want to watch this show. But we're trying to plow through it so we can get to season 5, which I thought was much better. But we're now on season 7, and we watch like 2 episodes like every couple of days or whatever. So we're nearly finished on that. So I'm trying to think, what do I want to cross over with Buffy? What was a good like show to cross over with Buffy?
Vampire Diaries? I don't know.
Maybe something like that. Or I'm going to pick something like Star Trek The Next Generation and Babylon 5 or something like that, because I love TNG. Yeah, there's a lot of options there. But maybe like TNG come down onto Earth and then we get them crossing over with Friends. That's another option as well.
What are you guys going to watch after Buffy?
ER.
Oh, okay. I like how you already had a plan. You're like, ER? Like, this is what's happening next.
So the streaming service we got over here, All Four, it's like a free streaming service, and they've got like a load of the American box sets selections. So there's like Buffy, there's Angel, ER, The West Wing. There's like loads of like 90s, early aughts American shows that I loved. So we're watching Buffy, not going to bother with Angel, but we're going to do ER next. I tried to convince my wife to pick up The West Wing because I love The West Wing, but she's like, I've tried it, I didn't like it. So we're going with ER instead.
Do you have HBO Max?
No, we don't have it here yet.
Oh, man. So, okay, never mind. Because I was going to recommend you a show, but I was like, oh, well, you don't have HBO Max. But if anybody has HBO Max, I suggest The Flight Attendant. It's like, it's those shows that I would recommend when you're not ready to like dive into a long series and you kind of want to watch something quick and easy. The Flight Attendant was really good.
Yeah, we were actually in a mode like that the other night where we're like, well, we want to start a new series, but we don't want anything that was like too like heavily involved. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, then we talked about that Chris Evans one that's on Apple TV, which is like super duper heavy. And we were like, actually, this is a bit heavier
than I intended. Which one's that one?
Is it Defending Jacob or something like that? But it's basically about like his kid gets accused of murder and he's a district attorney, and then like there's mysteries and sort of, you know, twists and turns along the way.
Well, I'm gonna watch it.
It's a powerhouse performance. Like, Chris Evans is great in it, but at the same time, I'm like, eesh, this is a bit heavy. I think we're gonna go back to Buffy here. Like, we'll just go back to the light entertainment of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's true. Like the heavy heavy ones, I don't like to watch before bed, because then I'll dream about it, and I'm always the main character, and I'm always living like the worst possible scenario.
Chris Gardner, as much as I and many others want WWE to be pushing new talent, seeing legends return is always a huge moment, and it got me thinking about the current roster. Who from the current talent pool in WWE do you think will generate the biggest pop if they were to return in 10 years after retirement? I struggle to see who in the current roster would get such a huge reaction, as given WWE's mentality of WWE being the draw and not the talent. I still think, even with that mentality, because you're right, like, I think WWE, they're not pushing stars, they're pushing themselves as a brand. I totally get that. But I still think there's individual people. If someone went out and said, like, I've got to retire now, like if Seth Rollins came out on SmackDown and was like, I've picked up an injury, I've got to retire. And then in 10 years' time, that retirement is like, you know, his injury gets better and he's able to return, that's going to be a huge pop, because it's Seth Rollins, right? Like, so, you know, we like seeing Seth Rollins wrestle. So I think that even though I still think there are certain people within this company, probably a lot of people actually, that if they were away for 10 years and then came back, they would still get a huge, huge pop.
I think there's quite a few, actually. And I'll name the obvious one for obvious reasons, and that's Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Roman. I was going to say Becky Lynch.
Like Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Like so many.
If Becky decided now that, like, motherhood to her was more important than being a wrestler, which I would totally respect and understand, and then in 10 years' time, like, you said that, whoa, she comes out for a Royal Rumble,
yeah,
like, that would be a huge pop.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Duncan J says, hi, Team Snook. I hope you're keeping well and enjoying the snacks from the other side of the pond. This is interesting because I think he's missing a word in this question, but I'm going to fill in the blanks. He says, Luke, as you're a massive Ghostbusters fan, do you think that's his best film? I wonder if he means Bill Murray. But he also says, Denise, how are you so peppy and happy? It's refreshing to see.
Oh, do you want to answer the question first, or am I going first?
In terms of question was if it's Bill Murray's best film, it's my favorite Bill Murray movie. I don't know if you could say it's his best film because, like, I don't know, he's done some pretty great movies along the way. But, like, it's my favorite Bill Murray performance. And it's my favorite Bill Murray. Like, I do love Groundhog Day, though. Is Bill Murray in Groundhog Day better than Bill Murray in Ghostbusters? Do you know what? I'm going to say yes, because Groundhog Day is a Bill Murray movie, whereas Ghostbusters it's Murray, it's Aykroyd, it's Ramis, it's Sigourney Weaver. Like, it's a bit more of an ensemble piece. But yeah, like, Groundhog Day, that is a Bill Murray movie. So I'm picking Groundhog Day for that.
I saw that movie once, but I kind of forgot the, like, main thing about it.
which is ironic because it's a lot of the same thing over and over again.
Isn't it just like groundhog? I don't remember. Doesn't a little squirrel come out and
he gets trapped in the same day for, like, over and over again. So, like,
wow, I can remember that.
That's what I mean. It's quite ironic. But yeah, he wakes up 6:30 every day and it's the same day over and over again.
See, though, I hate those kinds of movies. Like, those movies that they, like, start all over. I'm like, oh god, it's one of those. I'm out. Like, if I start watching a movie and that happens, I'll exit. I'm like, I'm not gonna go through this. Like, I'm out on this one. But
I need to rewatch Groundhog Day, please, because Groundhog Day is wicked. But yeah, I'm sorry, you go.
I will rewatch it just for you, Luke. I will rewatch it for you. To answer your question, though, I don't know. My mom told me I was born, like, really happy. That's what she said. So I'll take her word for it. According to my mom, I just came out and I was like, I just came out like this. I kid you not. That's what my mom said. That the second I, like, was born, I was like, so there you go. It's natural, I guess.
You were just born happy. Alex Kirkman says, I've got two questions. Are there any plans to put Adam's Parts Fun Known content out as podcast? As an avid podcast listener, to me, it seems like a no-brainer. I feel like I'm missing out. Secondly, what are your original thoughts on the Jinder Mahal experiment before it panned out and was simply shocking? I was a big fan of it as it was something different, but WWE ballsed it right up. On the first part, I think, like, Adam's booking videos and his lists, I feel like they're too, like, visual. Like, Quizlemania goes out as a podcast because, like, Quizlemania's got so much chat in there. Like, there are visual rounds for it, but it's also a very chatty thing. But yeah, like, I think his booking pages feel like it's too visual for it to be, like, an audio form. Plus, when we put too much stuff out on the podcast, it turns people off from listening to the podcast. So to answer the question, no, there are no plans to put out as a podcast content.
That makes sense. The visual aspect of it makes sense.
Yeah, but what do you think about the Jinder Mahal
experiment? Oh, I forgot the question. I think that I don't think there was ever a point, in my opinion, that Jinder Mahal showed anything special. So, like, I hated the Jinder Mahal thing from, like, start to finish before. I just didn't see any interest in this whatsoever.
I mean, Alex, you're in a bit of luck, really, because I was working, me and Ollie were doing Rust Talk podcasts when Jinder won the title. So you can actually, you can literally go back and watch that Backlash podcast review, and you can see what our thoughts were when he won the title.
I think negative or not negative?
If I remember correctly, I think in that I did say it is something different. It is something new. So, like, you know, it, maybe we can try and do it. Like, in retrospect, I wish they'd have done more of a build for it. But yeah, I think at the time I was like, hey, it's something different. It's something new. Let's, like, maybe let's give it a shot. And then it did not pan out the way that we thought it would.
Bro, I tested like from the moment, I was like, oh dear.
There could be every chance I go back and watch that episode and I'm like, this sucks. But I honestly don't remember what I thought. But that's the beauty of YouTube. It's on there for life until YouTube closes. The American Dad asked Jesse Long, says, greetings, Team Danuk, the best transatlantic sports infotainment duo ever. Oh, thanks.
I like that. We are transatlantic. I didn't realize that till now.
I know. I mean, it's both Friday for us now because I've taken the past midnight.
Barely.
But this question is more for Luke. Have you gotten around to listening to the new Weezer album, OK Human? When I'm not catching up on Wrestle Talk, I've been listening to Grapes of Wrath and playing my piano almost exclusively this week. It's the most fun I've had being sad in quite some time. For Denise, Weezer is kind of like Taylor Swift, but for aging white millennials.
Okay, first of all, I know who Weezer is. I've listened to Weezer. I grew up listening to Weezer. So I'm not familiar with Weezer. I know a lot of their songs.
Oh yeah, but I, as an aging white millennial, Weezer are they're one of my bands, and they're one of the most frustrating bands I've ever loved, because the Blue Album is a masterpiece, right? Like, that it is 10 tracks of just pure brilliance, and then every album after that, with the exception of Pinkerton, has been like, oh, I'm so excited. Oh my God, it's so average. And then, like, they release a new album, you're like, yes, Weezer are back. Oh my God, it's so average again. Like, they have like one or two bangers per album. And then the rest of it is just like, why'd you even bother? Like, I've listened to it, I've already forgotten it. But I've heard good things about OK Human. Even
Ollie was a million albums though. Like, I feel like they've had like a million.
Denise, you'd have thought by accident one of them would be great. And it has not happened. Of all just been like mediocre, and it's been so frustrating to be a Weezer fan. But from what I've heard, and like me and Ollie were talking about this because Ollie's listened to it, it's actually probably the best album they've done in ages. So wow. I'm gonna be listening to it today.
I'm trying to remember my favorite Weezer songs. So as you continue, I'm gonna search them really quick.
Benjamin says, I forget which podcast I was listening to, but someone asked Luke and Ollie which teams they're hoping to see reunite like Edge and Christian did at the Rumble. It got me thinking, would you rather see Jeff Hardy go to AEW and join Matt, or Matt go back to WWE, and why? Personally, I'd much rather see Jeff go to AEW. I think he's gone as far as he can in WWE.
I agree. I think Jeff to AEW. And then to answer your question, apparently I'm like those people that only know the hits of Weezer, because those are the only ones I know. Which one's the sweater song?
Oh, Undone. Yeah, the sweater
Undone. Song. That's my favorite one.
And you know
and Say It Ain't So.
Yeah, again, that's on the Blue Album. Like, that's because the Blue Album is a masterpiece.
Okay, then the Blue Album's my favorite, because that's the one I most know the songs. Oh, and I did like the one Beverly, is that like embarrassing?
Beverly Hills.
Like
Beverly
Hills. I like that one.
Beverly Hills. Yeah, that it's not on the Blue Album. I think it's on the Black Album, maybe.
It's on the Black. It's the cover's black.
Yeah, it's the Black Album.
With, like,
then.
Squiggles.
Yeah. And you know what? It's the only good song on that album. Leave the crowd wanting Brian Moore. Thanks for looking at my concept for the custom championship belt. I recommend JB Toys. They made the BTE championship for being the elite. My question is, what do you think of WWE's treatment and depiction of foreign talent?
I don't think it's been that great. I mean, speaking on the Mexican side of things, it hasn't been looking that great for us, at least. I mean, they could definitely put a lot more. I think they've been improving, though. I will say that. I think there's been improvement. But, I mean, we can all go back and point out a lot of things that were not that great.
Yeah, I think WWE have got, like, it's a very 80s, it's an old school wrestling mentality, really, which is that it's easy to make them a heel because they're easy to like, because like you can paint them as the invading foreigner, right? Like, I mean, the British talent gets presented this way as well. Like William Regal was just like, well, you're British, so you're a heel, because that's what, because you've got to be, right? So you know, it's just a very old school mentality. It just kind of sucks that they sometimes still have that mentality where it's just like, okay, you're Japanese, that means you've got to be the sneaky Japanese talent. And I you know, when they were doing it with Asuka, I was like, ooh, no, thank you, no, this is not who Asuka is.
Oh yeah, or like it there, yeah, they try, they, you know, I've listened to so many like past shows and like listening to the commentary, some of the storylines are just like, my god, imagine if this would have happened like nowadays. It's wild.
Oh yeah. Right, we've got actually we haven't got that many questions. We probably can do all of these. Jericho, I remember there being a forbidden door somewhere. Well, I don't see there being one anymore, just a large hole from a battering ram. Seems like AEW really is trying to create a true wrestling world. What would it take for WWE to do something like this? My guess would be executives at NBC Universal and Fox going to Vince. I just rewatched WrestleTalk After Dark. Damn, Luke, that was one crazy story and a messy one too, winky face. Denise, where can I get a shirt? Where can I get that t-shirt that Sean got last week?
Wait, which shirt that Sean got last week? The one, the grapevine one?
So it's either the California Raisins one, or is it the Kanye West one?
So the Kanye West fan was made by a fan. So like it was like specially made. And the grapevine one, I don't know, because Sean bought it.
Hmm.
And I know the store name was on the bag, but I threw the bag away, so I don't know.
Yes, the WrestleTalk After Dark has come up quite a few times in Hyper Chats, but I'm not going to mention it here. You have to go to the podcast to hear that story. As to what it would take for WWE to create a wrestling world, I don't think they are doing that. They're just doing it within their own house. Like that's what Triple H has been talking about, the global localization. We're setting up NXT UK, we're setting up NXT India, NXT Japan, NXT like NXT Mexico. So they are creating their wrestling world. It's just an internal one.
They work differently. I think that's what people need to realize, that even though they're competition, they run differently in WWE.
Dwayne the Gronk Johnson says, seeing as AEW seem to be beating NXT in the ratings on most weeks, is it fair to say that AEW is the more popular product right now? Do you think that the AEW product would have coped if they were competing with the 2018 NXT Gargano Ciampa storyline?
I think it would have been the same thing, because at the end of the day, the new product, you know, people are always going for newer, better. So I feel like no matter what, it would still been the same thing.
I agree, actually. I think like NXT was like, it was on fire during that period of time, because there was a portion of wrestling fans who did not like the WWE main products. They were like, well, this is kind of the wrestling that I want to see. And, you know, we saw that over in like people going nuts for stuff in New Japan with the Bullet Club and in Ring of Honor as well. But once those people kind of like fractured off and created their own product, everyone was like, oh, cool. Well, that's actually the product I was after. Like, so unfortunately, I'm going to be leaving NXT behind me, because this is the product that I've been kind of craving for. So I think they still would have gone over, even though the Gargano Ciampa storyline was so great. I mean, NXT's done some great storyline stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Last year, like really, really great. And it still hasn't drawn those people back. So, yeah, I would think even with the Gargano Ciampa storyline, I think AEW still would be in the same position they are now.
I agree.
Trevor from Ohio says, I believe the Hangman storyline is a metaphor for mental health. Throughout the story, he has gone through self-destructive behavior, shutting out others and trying to take on some of the hardest points in his life on his own. He always seems to be getting to a better place when he has support from other people like the Dark Order. As someone who's been through a battle with depression, it's something I recognize all too well. I'm a huge advocate for mental health positivity and love how AEW is promoting it on their program. Do you think the two are linked here? Is there any correlations, or am I just digging a little too deep? Thanks for what you do. This podcast is one of my weekly highlights, something I always enjoy listening to. I don't think you're reading into it at all, Trevor, at all. But also, thank you very much for listening. But yeah, no, I think that's where they are going with this.
I don't know, because I feel like I don't know too much about the subject to say like, oh, this is what it reminds me of. But I feel like if that's what it reminds you of, then I guess in a way that's good, because it's adding substance to the character. It's adding depth, layers to this character. So it's making it much more meaningful to the viewer. So it's connecting to the viewer in this, you know, in this manner. But I don't know if that's something that's being done purposely or not. I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, I think you could certainly make the argument that he's being self-destructive. Like, it's, you know, we get these hyper chats all the time. There's people who pick up on the like littlest details. And I think those littlest details are put there on the purpose. You know, it's whenever he's turned to drink, that's when he is turned against people. You know, like he was drinking, like he would seem to be enjoying himself with the Dark Order, but then he's having a drink. Then the next thing you know, he's turning it off the Dark Order and not going with them. So like, I think there's a lot of layers to the Hangman storyline, which is why I love him as a character, because I think he's so complex, and I cannot wait to see the next chapter of it. And we've got one more question here from Alex Storm. He says, my question is regarding the podcast clips that used to be posted more frequently on what is now known as WrestleTalk Podcast, which is formerly Wrestle 2, formerly WrestleTalk Clips. My podcast listenership has declined in the pandemic since I mostly listen to it during my commute to work. I enjoy seeing those one or two clips every day to catch up on the fun bits I miss. I noticed a slowdown over the holidays and figured it was just for that reason. But here we are in February and the podcast and the clips are still very infrequent. Is this the new normal for the channel? He also notes, and congratulations to you, he's going to be going to the Go Home Revolution episode of AEW and Revolution itself. He's booked himself a little Airbnb. So,
how exciting. Nice. I love that.
Very, 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 very exciting. So yeah, so the podcast clips, that's what the channel originally started out to be. It was a place for us to put clips. And then some worked, some didn't. But essentially what we found was it was people who were watching the main show and then just going over and watching the clips, right? And we did enjoy putting the clips out, but like some would do less than 1,000, some would do just over 1,000, some might do really well, but then others would do very, very poor. And it kind of just sort of wasn't working out as a way. But clips are still going to be on the channel. In fact, on Wednesday, we posted up the best of the month, which is now how we're going to be doing this, rather than it being like loading up three every day, because that just messes with YouTube's algorithm and then the YouTube doesn't recommend it, so no one sees it. Every month, at the end of the month or the beginning of the month, we're going to be posting up our best of the previous month. So there's like a 20-minute video where it's got podcast highlights, like all the best stuff from the month. So it's got like Denise and Adam talking about their eating habits. It's got Ollie Davis marking out over monster trucks because they go brum brum. It's also got like the best of Quizzlemania stuff in there as well. So like, I think the best of package is going to be like, it's the still being able to do the clips, but it's a much better way of doing the clips. But yeah, we're really, really excited for it. But thank you so much for listening regardless. I hope you still, maybe we'll get those commutes back soon.
We should ask Ollie for a special section for us where we get all these exclusive clips.
Dude, I think this show is probably, like, this is a highlights package in and of itself. Like, the whole episode is a highlights package. So when I was putting the package together, someone messaged me, a friend of mine messaged me being like, oh, are you going to send Denise some Marmite? And I was like, I'm not, because it comes in a glass jar. And I thought, I'm risking it by sending chocolate, but that probably will not make it.
I love the fact that people messaged you about it. Like, hey, like, this is what you should send or whatever. That's really awesome.
Oh yeah. My wife and I had like, she was like, oh, you should put some of these in. Like when because we're like shopping alone at the moment because of the pandemic, they say you should only be shopping. Like if you can shop singularly, do it. So I just drive over to the shops and do anything. And my wife said, like, are you going to buy stuff for Denise today? And I said, yeah, I am. And she's like, what are you going to get? And I was like, okay, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get these things for sure. And then I'm also just going to look down the aisle and just see if there's anything else. And I might just sort of pick some stuff at random and send them across, which like the Dolly mixture ended up in that way, as well as those little like drumstick squishy things. Like that's how they ended up in there. And then she was like, make sure you get this. Make sure you get one of these. Have you thought about getting some of these? I was like, yeah, I did. And then I did that shop and I was like, here's what I've got. And we were looking through and like, yeah, this is pretty great. And then she's like, but you need to get some of this. And I'm like, I know, but they didn't have it there. So I just went to a different shop. I walked up to my local spa down the road and I was like, I spent like 20 minutes in there just down the aisle, picking out various different bits and bobs, spent those, showed it to Kate. And she was like, we've got this. Like, that's it.
Oh,
like,
that's so cute. I love that. No, I feel like when I saw your box, I was like, holy moly. I was like, this is huge. And then the second I opened it, I was like, oh my God, there's so much in here. I'm so excited. And I think just like the different flavors of like potato chips, I'm like really waiting like to get into. Like, I'm really upset that I have to wait until tomorrow because it's already midnight and I can't snack right now, but I would very much like to get into it right now. But it is exciting though, because like you just don't know like what the other person is, you know, what they have in their store, and it's pretty fun to like, you know, just grocery shop for that person.
Oh, dude, I had so much fun doing it as well. And like when I took it down to the post office, as I said, like it was open because I didn't have any packing tape, which is stupid because I've just moved house, but we couldn't find the smegging packing tape. So I had to go buy some. I had to go buy it at the shop that I was sending it from, like from the post office I was sending it from. So I walked in with an open box and I was like, can I buy some packing tape? And then I went over and I wrapped it up and then took it back to him. And he put it on the scales and he was like, cool, it's this much. And then he was just like, oh, it's going to the US. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, clickety, 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 click. And he was like, oh, it's over two. He's like, oh, it's over 2 kilograms now. It's going to be more. And I was like, how much over by 2 kilograms? And said by like 5 grams, basically. Like it literally was just over the 2 kilogram mark.
No.
And like it added like an extra 20 quid onto the postage. I was like, if I'd have known that, I probably would have taken something out. So I could have just got it under that 2 kilogram mark.
Oh my God. And he should have allowed you to do that at least.
So
me and my fiance, like we went shopping together for like the stuff that we were going to send you. Right. And we were like arguing about like what to send. Cause I was like, no, you should send him that. No, he's just like, he'll like this. No, he'll like that. Like we had like a whole, like it was like a whole thing, like trying to decide what to send. Right. And then after, like, he was the one that was like, don't send chocolate. Don't send anything that makes too much noise. And I was like, okay. And so that's like the basis of what we followed. But even when we got back here and we started packing everything, like things weren't fitting. So I was like, all right, we're gonna have to take things out. Like, what is the process of elimination here? So I ended up taking out like 2 little boxes and that was like it. But even then, like the packing and the construction of it all was a thing.
Oh man, I had so much fun doing that. And I've thoroughly enjoyed actually everything you've sent over. Like the only thing I didn't like was that push pop cinnamon thing. I think it was a pain in the ass to eat, but that was the only one I didn't like. I've loved everything else. Those the marzipan ones, the like the peanut butter marzipan ones.
The marzipanis? The yellow box?
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Dude, they're so good.
Right? Those are my favorite.
Those are great. Really, really great. I loved those. It was weird because at first it felt like I was eating like powder, but like, oh, I do love the taste of peanut butter. So like that was well up my street. Absolutely love it.
Yes. That's a classic right there. Like I could eat those breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love those so much. Like, I could have a whole box by myself. So funny story, when I was a kid and I used to go to parties, like those family parties, my uncle, who would always go to Mexico, he would always come back with boxes, like the big boxes of those. And so he would basically ask me, like, Denise, if you sing at the party, if you sing a song, I will pay you in a box of mazapanes. So I used to sing in Spanish to like all these strangers and people so that I could get my box of mazapanes. And then right after, like I would do my little song and then he would take me like to the kitchen and be like, all right, pick your box of mazapanes. And he would have a bunch of like Mexican candy because he would get it when he went to Mexico. And I would be like, oh my God, the box. And I would just like walk out with my giant box of mazapanes. Oh, I love them.
What was the song?
I think it was Tragos de Amargo Licor, something like that. It's like a sad like song about a drunk guy who like loses the love of his life or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would sing that song. And then I would also sing Paquita La del Barrio. It was so weird. It's like these...
How old were you to be singing this song about this drunk guy?
Well, I didn't know like what it was about. I just knew the words, but it was like, I'm trying to remember how it went. Tragos del Amargo Licor, something que yo said. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember the words here, but I can't right now. Like I always need the beat, but it's this like, it's a very passionate, sad song about, I think it's about like, yeah, a guy that basically like is drunk and like loses the love of his life or something like that.
I particularly love there that you were like, I can't sing it. I need the beat, like you're Bad Bunny or something. And you're just like, no, yeah. I can't do this unless I've got the beat behind me.
But it was like my go-to song though. So a lot of the relatives would hear me sing that song, but I only knew like part of the song too. So it wasn't like the whole thing that I would sing.
What have you got plans for the weekend?
Yeah, actually. So remember I told you I did like a staycation last 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or mm-hmm. something like that? Oh, I'm doing another one this weekend.
No way.
Yes, it was just so nice. So this time, last time I went to Camarillo and it rained. So we were like indoors and obviously we're going to be indoors either way because, you know, the COVID and all of that. But this time we're going to San Diego, which is just, you know, not very far from here. It's less than 2 hours. So we're going to go there and just chill. I got like an entire home. So it should be pretty fun. And it's just one night only too. So it'll be
nice. Amazing. Sounds cool. Oh man, I kind of, I want to go away, but like, we're not going to go anytime soon. We're locked in this area at the moment. We can't go anywhere.
It sucks. It really sucks. I know. I almost feel like spoiled that I at least get to have one night away. But I was like, well, I have one night. I'm not going anywhere.
No, dude. I think it's good that you're getting your one night away. I'm just very, very jealous of it.
Are you doing anything this weekend?
Do you know what? I don't think we are really. Like, my wife's got a call with her Galentine's pals over the weekend. So I'll probably just do some editing, I guess. So I'll just come and sit in my office and just edit.
Yeah, they're not going to want you for Galentine's.
They don't need me around for Galentine's. I'll go and do some editing. I'll go and do the weekly shop. Like, there's nothing exciting happening in the Owen household this week, unfortunately, which is a shame. Although it's WandaVision tonight, so at least we can watch WandaVision, and then maybe I'll probably watch all 5 episodes again tomorrow because I'm loving the show at the moment.
So you're going to hate me. I've been getting all the episodes like ahead of time.
Have you really? Because you're like, you know, because you're an influencer. And
yeah,
like,
I haven't watched any of them. They've been coming to my inbox and I'm like, I don't have time. I can't even watch right now. So I gotta watch. And did you see that they sent me like a bunch of gifts from WandaVision?
I didn't know. What did you get sent?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's somewhere on my Twitter account. I'll have to find it and send it to you. But they sent me like a TV guide, a cup. They sent me, oh my God. It was like this whole thing, like a big giant box of gifts of WandaVision. And what else did they send me? Cups. Coasters, like a TV guide notebook. They sent me a spoon, a fork, a straw, a little case. I mean, they sent a bunch of stuff.
And you're not even watching the show.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just don't have time.
Are you interested? Are you interested?
No, I am interested. I just don't have time, like at all. Like at all. Like the only time I get to watch anything is at night, and then I watch like 2 episodes of Frasier and I'm out cold after that.
And also I think you've got to have a point where you need to like, I'm not watching something for work. Like, you know, if I can do it during my work hours, then I will do. But outside of that, then yeah, I can't do this anymore. I've just got to watch something for me.
Oh, and then tomorrow. So get this, tomorrow they're sending me food. They're going to send me a meal. So that like I could help promote like a movie that's on Amazon. So I can't wait. So you'll see that. I don't know. I mean, they sent me the restaurant name, but I didn't Google it. But they're sending the meal. They are like between 2 and 5, and I was like, "Wee! I get free dinner tomorrow."
Do you know what? I mean, do you even know what the film is?
Yeah, it's called Bliss.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know that one, so no.
Man, so you'll see me promote it.
Damn, like when I used to be a film critic, like I was a freelance film critic for a while, and I used to get sent stuff from PR companies all the time, and like it was pretty rad. Like, you know, I got a bunch of stuff that I don't know what to do with anymore. I got like signed posters for films and stuff, and like I keep saying to Kay, I was like, we should do something with these because I like the films, particularly like The Guest and The Babadook, but I'm like, and I don't know what to do with them. But like, once I stopped being a critic and I had to like message all the, like my PR contacts being like, oh, I'm no longer doing this anymore. And they were like, oh, okay, well, you know, this and the other. And I was like, no, I just don't get sent stuff anymore. I know. What I should have done was just not said that I'm not doing it anymore, because I probably still would have been sent the stuff, because like the way PRs just have a list of people and then they're just like, we're just going to send some stuff out.
Yeah. And then it's like, even like, I don't know, it's interesting. Like, I do like so much like work for like different work for them, but like if I skip a project, like I still get sent the stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I'll take it.
Exactly. It's free stuff. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Randy and Pete will be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Then Ollie and I will be back with Raw the following week, AEW, all that good stuff. Denise and I will be back next Friday with the magazine show. I look forward to seeing your reviews of products. Are you going to be doing it as a Twitter feed, or are you just going to do it as one
YouTube
big video?
I'm going to do it all in one. It'll be amazing. Fun.
Cannot wait. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.